Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Mike, a.k.a. Max. You're listening to the Alternative View X on Blog Talk Radio. This is a Bible encouragement show, and I just want to thank you for joining today, listening to the program. Today's show is called Like-Minded Unity in Christ, Philippians 2. I was in a church last year, and I was listening to a sermon that talked about uniformity and unity, and there was a big difference. The pastor was trying to create an understanding in the minds of the congregation that unity is what we're going for, not uniformity, and went on to describe examples of uniformity in that we can see in the world. Uniformity is more of a kind of like if you were to join a cult and everyone thinks the same, acts the same, does the same things, and there's just mass uniformity. Or you can compare it to an army where everyone is being trained the same way. Nothing bad about training or being an officer or being in the police force or the army, but that's just to show an example from uniformity. Whereas in unity, we all are individuals and we have unity, unity in mind in the body of Christ. So in this episode, I want to discuss the urge for unity. I'll be reading from Philippians 2, and I want to discuss the unity in the body of Christ. So we'll talk about and read from the Bible how we are to care for one another in Christ. And just as it is important to understand the Bible, we need to be living examples of what the Bible teaches. It isn't enough to just know about the Bible, but like wisdom, we should be applying it in our daily lives. So with that said, back to what I was talking about before, with unity and uniformity, the question should be asked, well, what are we to be in unity about? And most people will say, well, we need to be in unity about what the Bible teaches. However, that kind of atmosphere at times can create a fear-based congregation where no one is, no one feels that they have the right to challenge what is being taught at the church. And I think that's not what the Bible talks about, or that's not what the Bible means when it talks about being in unity in Christ. Another way we can look at unity in Christ is unity of love in the Spirit. So not just strict doctrine, doctrinal unity, even though that can be applied when we talk about unity in Christ, but there also has to be a unity in the teachings of Jesus Christ. And one of the teachings of Jesus Christ is the teaching of love, that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves and to love mankind. So there needs to be unity, not just in what the church believes in, and again, it doesn't necessarily have to be a fear-based unity. It shouldn't. In fact, it should not be a fear-based unity, but the unity should be based on mutual consent around the teachings of Christ, and the foremost of that is what Christ taught about loving our neighbor as ourself. So with that said, if you have a Bible, you can turn to Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading, I'll see how much I'm going to read. I'm going to be reading starting in verse 1. I would like to get through the whole chapter, but I also want to talk about, dissect, if you will, what I'm reading, either as I'm reading it now or just read first and then go back. So I think I'm just going to read starting in verse 1. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Philippians chapter 2. And it starts off, it says, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So I'm going to stop there and go back and dissect, if you will, what was just read. And so we're going to start with the verse, chapter 2, verse 1, where it says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. I'm going to stop right there. So what Paul is saying to the Philippian church, he's saying if there's any consolation in Christ, so consolation is a word that basically, in my mind, describes comfort. So when you're being consoled, you're being comforted, you're being brought back to a state of wellness. So he's saying if there's any of that in Christ Jesus, if there's any comfort of love, right? So we experience love when we're in Christ. If any fellowship of the Spirit, and that would be the Holy Spirit, if any affection and mercy, right? So we have affections towards one another in the body of Christ, and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love. So there it is, that word love. So he's not just saying be like-minded around the doctrines of the faith. He's urging them to have the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So one mind goes back to what I was saying at the beginning of this episode, was that it's not necessarily focused on unity in Christ and not uniformity. there's many ways of looking at that. So then I'll just go on to continue reading here. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. So there it is there. You know, a lot of the problems that are happening now within the church is that a lot of the leaders in the church, and I can speak because I was a leader in a church at one point, one of the greatest temptations for someone in authority is to work out of their own idea of what is right and wrong. So having a selfish kind of ambition towards those that you're trying to minister to can create a lot of problems because we are not to be let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, right? So conceit is pride. When we become prideful, we can hurt other people. There's the saying, hurting people hurt people. So let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. There it is right there. That verse speaks so much because Paul is telling the church in Philippi that we should look out for the interests of others. So in other words, when we're thinking about other people and how we can meet their needs, pride goes out the window and we stop doing damage to the Church of Jesus Christ when we let go of self-interest or self-ambition and focus on the interests of others. Okay, starting in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, I'm going to read that again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All right, so let's go back and dissect that a little bit. This mind be in you, which was also in Christ. So what mind? The mind that we were just talking about. The one that does not think of his own agenda, of his own interests, but putting others, putting the interests of others first. So Christ had that attitude. He had that mind in him. So let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, talking about the divinity in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Was Jesus was God manifest in the human flesh, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. So even though Jesus Christ was God, he took the form of a servant, a bondservant here, and coming in the likeness of men. So he was God, but he was also man. He coming in the likeness of men. He came as a man. I can say it that way. And being found in appearance as a man. So he was found in appearance. He looked like a man. He looked like you and me. And he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So Christ died on a cross. It wasn't just a made-up story. Jesus Christ actually did die on the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So that puts to rest any notion that we only need to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. There are a lot of churches out there who will just say, use the term flippantly, saying that we have to accept Jesus as Savior, implying, whether directly or indirectly, that at some point in time you will accept him as your Lord also. This is heresy. That's false doctrine. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible clearly states, not just in this passage, but also in Romans chapter 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So again, I'm going to read this again. That every tongue should confess, this is verse 11, chapter 2, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So going back, starting in verse 9, therefore God also has highly exalted him, that would be Jesus, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those are the saints and the angels, those on the earth, that would be you and me, and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So the lordship of Jesus Christ is being addressed in this verse here. So don't buy the cheap medicine that tells you that you only have to accept Jesus as your Savior. That is not true. It's false doctrine. We do have to accept him as Lord and Savior. Thank you for listening to this episode today. This has been the Alternative UX on Blog Talk Radio. This is Mike, a.k.a. Max. We talked about like-minded unity in Christ today. We read from the book of Philippians. Again, thank you for listening, and goodbye.